The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
My text this morning is taken from Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 6. Let me read those. Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 6. The Apostle Paul writes these words, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter." There is a statement made in this passage where the Apostle Paul is both clear in his intent and he is emphatic in his doctrine. And here is that statement, this one statement that Paul makes here in these six verses. He says to believers that we should serve in newness of spirit and not, and I emphasize that because that's what Paul's emphasizing. It's what he's clear on, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. In other words, the believer's service to God is not the law revamped. The believer's service to God is not by legal constraint and legal letter. It is not. That is, the believer's service to God is not based upon Mosaic law at all. Hear the true character of the law. Here's what the true character of the law is. Paul says here in the context of the passage which I read to you. Paul says this, "The law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. The law is spiritual," Paul says. We speak here, when Paul speaks here, when I speak here of the law, we're talking about the Ten Commandments, even the Ten Commandments. But let us realize that the law has far more than just Ten Commandments. There were those ten written upon the tables of stone, of course, but the law then contained hundreds more of commandments. And Paul says, concerning all the law, it's holy. The commandment holy and just and good, and the law is spiritual. But the law is much more. According to the Apostle Paul here, and I read some of this to you, the Apostle Paul says the law dominates. That's chapter 7 and verse 1. Don't you know that the law hath dominion? Dominion, it dominates dominion over a man as long as he liveth. The law binds, according to Paul in verse 2. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law. So you see, the law dominates. The law binds. The law holds. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were not any longer, but we were held. So the law dominates. The law binds. The law holds. I didn't read this verse, but Paul goes on to say that the law kills in chapter 7 and verse 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The law kills. The law is unto death in verse 10. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found. to be unto death. The law is much more than what men often declare it to be. The law is, according to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the law is the letter that kills. And notice Paul said in Romans 7 that we should serve in newness of spirit and not, it's emphatic and it's clear, and not in oldness of the letter. But according to Paul in 2 Corinthians 3, the law is the letter that kills. The law is the ministration of death. The law is the ministration of condemnation. You see, if a man speaks of deliverance from the law's condemnation while still promoting service to God by the law's letter, that man is a false teacher. Did you hear my word? I said, if a man speaks of deliverance from the law's condemnation while still proposing service to God by the law's letter, that man is a false teacher. I don't care if he mentions some things about grace. I don't care if he mentions the word election and predestination and foreordination. Any man who speaks of deliverance from the law's condemnation and still proposes to anyone service to God by the law's letter, that man is a false teacher, because the Apostle Paul is clear that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. You see, everyone under legal service, that's under service to the law, everyone under legal service is under legal letter, and the letter kills. But Christ, according to Paul here in our text, Christ suffered and died in the body of his flesh for a people. Look at it again, verse 4, the first part. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. How? Not by your faith. No, it's not what it says. Not by your repentance. Don't add that in here. Faith and repentance are valid and vital, but that's not the point here. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ. You see, Christ suffered and Christ died in the body of his flesh for a people. And in that, he legally broke the bonds of the law over them. And that work of Jesus Christ for that people, that work in his body freed these people from the law, that they should be what? First, not freed from the law to serve a newness of spirit, but that they should be married to another, even to Christ. And that union promotes fruit unto God in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Now read it again. Let's read what it says. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him that is raised from the dead. So you see the order? Christ died for a people, and he died for a people as of cause and effect, that they should be married to him, even to him who is raised from the dead, that is to Christ, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So let us be clear. When Jesus Christ died for his sheep, and he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. When Jesus Christ offered up himself to God and he died on the sheep's behalf, those sheep were delivered from the law. But they were delivered from the law that they should be married to Christ, joined to Christ, freed from the law, but married to Christ, married to another. And this marriage to Christ, that in turn brings forth this fruit unto God. This is the truth of God. So again, hear the law's true character. Hear what the law says. The law curses, according to Galatians 3 and verse 10. The law was added because of transgressions, according to Galatians 3 and verse 19. Sin by the law becomes exceedingly sinful, according to Romans 7 verse 13. Moreover, Paul says, the law entered that the offense might abound, according to Paul in Romans 5 and verse 20. You see, the law of God is a letter that kills. The law of God is a ministration of death and a ministration of condemnation. You see, if a man speaks of service to the law as expressing a man's righteousness, even a saved man, God doesn't save you so you can keep the law. You can't keep the law no matter what. I can't keep the law no matter what. If a man speaks of service to the law as expressing a man's righteousness, even of a saved man, rather than speaking of the law as speaking of a man's sin, then that man is a false teacher. I don't care what he says about the law. Unless he expresses that the law is this. Here's the true character of the law. Here it is. The law dominates. The law binds. The law holds. The law kills. The law is unto death. The law is a letter that kills. The law is a ministration of death. The law is a ministration of condemnation. The law is added because of transgressions. By the law becomes exceedingly sinful. And moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. If any man speaks of service to the law as expressing a man's righteousness rather than speaking of a man's sin, that man is a false teacher. You see, the law shows no man how good he is. The law doesn't show you how good you are. The law doesn't show you how good you're to try to be. The law declares how corrupt our corruption is. The law declares how deep and profound and heinous our depravity goes. The law shows us how exceedingly sinful is our will, how exceedingly sinful is our understanding, and how exceedingly sinful is our affections. A man's only hope, the only hope for fallen, corrupt, depraved, exceedingly sinful, self-willed, ignorant, and God-hating sinners, the only hope is that Christ died in the room instead of such an individual. Christ Jesus came into this world and saved sinners. He came into this world to save sinners. And the law declares, you're a sinner. The law says, shut your mouth before God. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 3. Listen, here's what he said. Now we know, Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. Do you see it? This is the law's purpose. Here's the true character of the law. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So again, I say, the law shows no man how good he is or how good he even ought to be. The law declares how corrupt our corruption is. The law shows us how deep our depravity goes. The law shows us how exceedingly sinful is all of our being, our will, our understanding, our affections, our center of love. You see, again, I say, a man's only hope is Christ, and that he died in my room, and that he died in my stead. A man's only hope is that Christ died in my place. And in that death, I have been freed to be united to Christ and constrained by love to bring forth fruit unto God in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Again, hear me this morning. If you have ears to hear, I pray God, hear. If you have ears to hear, hear. Again, hear the true character of the law. The law, according to James, the law is a unified whole. A unified whole. The law is a unified whole to such a degree that James says that one offense against the law, even in one point, that one offense, in that one point, that constitutes the offender as guilty of all the law. You see, the law of God does not require our best shot. The law doesn't require our best effort. The law, as my brother Joe Galusik has said before, the law is not the 10 suggestions. It's the 10 commandments. The law does not require your best shot or my best shot. The law demands total, absolute obedience. And is that my opinion, or is that a statement from Scripture? Here's what the Apostle Paul says about the law. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. If you can't, turn to it. But listen if you can't. Listen. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many, that means everyone, all of them, for as many as are of the works of the law. What is it? That's the letter. This, do this, do this, don't do that. That's the letter of the law. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Do you see it? That's what he says. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So again I say, oh, may God give you ears to hear. The law does not require my best effort, nor your best effort. The law demands our total, absolute obedience, and I do not have it. And you do not have it. That's the true character of the law. That's the true nature of the law. The law puts my face in the dirt before God as a guilty, corrupt, depraved sinner. But, oh, what a word that's given in Scripture. But Christ obeyed God on behalf of a people. That's a glorious thing. I realize that many don't grasp that. They think the death of Jesus Christ was just some historical fact. Jesus Christ said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Christ said, I know mine and known of mine. And he even went so far to tell some people, you're not my sheep. But I'm here to say this morning, Christ obeyed God on the behalf of a people. And in his act, his one act of obedience, hear me now, Christ obeyed God on behalf of a people. And in his one act of obedience, a past act, that act he accomplished it, that work he accomplished at Calvary, he freed those people for whom he died from the legal bondage and legal condemnation, not to serve self. Oh no, not to serve self, but to serve God. But not to serve God in the letter of the law, but to serve God in newness of spirit only, and not in oldness of the letter. This is quite clear, as the Apostle Paul says, that we should serve in newness of spirit. We who? Those for whom Christ died. Because those for whom Christ died will be married, joined to Christ. And those who are those for whom Christ died, who will be joined to Jesus Christ in marriage and will bring forth fruit unto God. And how did he do it? How do they do that? In newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. And yet, in spite of all of this testimony of Scripture, in spite of all of these words in Scripture concerning the true character of the law, and yet some persist in calling the law a rule of life, even for believers. Some persist in calling the law a rule for life or a rule in life. But listen again to what the Scripture says. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3, and I'll begin in verse 21. Listen to what he says. Is the law then against the promises of God? Is it against? Since all the law does is condemn me, since all the law does is manifest my sin, since all the law does is show me how corrupt I am, then is it against the promises of God? God forbid. Now listen. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. There is no life in the law. The law is a glorious condemnation of death. And listen, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Do you see it? Kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, ye have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So again I say, even in light of all the law's testimony, even in light of all that the law says about fallen Adamic humanity, about me and about you, yet some persist in calling the law a rule of life. But clearly Paul says it's not of life. It's not life, it's death. It's not a rule of life. It's not a rule for life. It's not a rule in life. It is a glorious condemnation of death. Paul, that great apostle to the Gentiles, that man who was at one time known as Saul of Tarsus, Paul, a man steeped in legal accolades, steeped in legal service. Now hear me. This man steeped in legal accolades, steeped in legal services, he counted it all but dung for a specific reason. And that's a strong statement. And I'm not making this up. This is not my opinion. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Listen to his words. This is what he said. Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's saying you want to brag about yourself. That's kind of what he's saying. You want to brag about yourself? Well, let me tell you about myself. Here he is. Here's what he says. He was, I'm circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, here's what Paul said, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Now listen to touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul had done everything that he ought to do according to his mind, in his flesh. He'd done everything he ought to do. If he did do wrong, he offered his sacrifice. If he did think he'd somehow failed, he offered his sacrifice. Touching the law, the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But listen to what Paul says about all of these accolades and all of this legal service. Listen. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him. Do you see that marriage there? Be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Do you see that? Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or lay hold of that for which I also am laid hold of or apprehended of Christ Jesus. You see, you boast in your legal service to the letter, then you best knock yourself out. Because if you boast, if you seek to boast before God, if you seek acceptance before God in your service to the letter of the law, then God demands of you absolute perfection. You don't have it, my friend. I don't have it, my friend. Anyone who goes on in such spiritual madness will do so to their own just, condemnation. There is no salvation in the law. That's true. Many say that. But there is no service in the law either. God's people, those for whom Christ died, those who've been joined, united to Jesus Christ by a work of free sovereign grace and brought to faith through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought to bow before Him, they are united to Christ and they bring forth fruit unto God. But how? In newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So again, I say, if you boast in your legal service to the letter, you best knock yourself out in it. But if you go on in such spiritual madness, you will do so to your own just condemnation. But if though on the other hand, you can taste, you hear my words, and while what I say disturbs you deeply, but if, on the other hand, you see that even though it may disturb you deeply, you can taste the corruption of your person. You can taste the corruption of your actions. You can taste the very depravity that describes not only what you do, but it describes who you are. If on that other hand, you taste that corruption and that depravity and that vileness and that sinfulness that the law declares you to both do and be, then I want you to know this. According to the scripture, this is a faithful saying. This is what the Apostle Paul said. That great ex-legal man, ex-law man, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, of whom I am chief. Oh, listen to me, dear sinner. Do you see that corruption by the law? Run to Christ. Flee to Christ. Believe Christ. Bow before Christ. Rest in Christ. That's your only hope.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.